members have voted, all present members have voted, Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 senators present this morning. Senator Paul Fisher is excused from the call of the Senate today.
Let me stand for the invocation, please.
Father in heaven, thank you for a good week. We know, God, that your name, even just your name, is holy. We ask that your kingdom would come and be manifested here today. We ask that your will be done in this earth, even as it is in heaven. Father, give us today our daily sustenance for body, soul, and spirit. And forgive us, God, of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and the evil one. For truly yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Secretary certifies the correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 46th legislative day.
Mr. President, I would move the journal for the 46th legislative day be approved as certified.
Objections so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? You know, the floor is under Gilman.
Yes, Mr. President, in the far gallery, it gives me a seat in the far gallery are two gentlemen from the Kenai Peninsula. They're both on the board of directors of the State Home Builders Association, Mitch Robinson of Sterling and Tom Shastman of Soldotna.
Mr. President, I have two guests, I think, who are with us today. I don't know these women, but they're with the Petersburg BPW, and I'm sure that I'll have a chance to meet and chat with them the next couple of days. Arlene Pence and Fran Hubbard, welcome to the show.
Senator Elias.
Mr. President, I have four ladies here from Sitka, the first capital of Alaska. They're here with the BPW people. Candy Rutledge, Hulis Fischel Holstein, Mary Jane Moore, and Edie Bovey.
Senator Rodi, you have the floor.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me, we have a constituent of Senator Ziegler's from Petersburg, who's a longtime friend of mine. Someone that I think many of us have known for some years, Claire Strand.
You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I would like to introduce to the Senate another member of the BPW group from the great downtown District G of Anchorage, Phyllis Oliver.
Senator Joseph.
Uh-oh.
Very much. Senator, please come back to order. Who was seeking the floor? Senator Fahrenkamp seeking the floor.
Mr. President, Fairbanks is not to be left out today with BMPW, and I'm very happy to have today Linda Brecken here with BPW, Joan Klutz, and Melanie Marinetta, and I certainly want to welcome them here.
Senator Ray.
Let
us stand at ease. Uh-huh. You have the floor, Senator.
Yes, the home builders are in, and I know there'll be an announcement about a opportunity for us to meet with them later on today. But I don't know how many are down, and would it be too unusual to introduce Rob Gamble, who's been very active with them, and perhaps indicate if he could indicate others that are present so we would not overlook
acceptable.
Them.
We have a statewide group of distinguished citizens here, and I appreciate that. Please
fine.
Do that.
Thank you, Mr. President, but Rob Gamble.
Thank you. think there's another gentleman in this corner, is there? We welcome you here. Occasionally, we're less than acceptable format. Thank you very much for coming. Senator Ray.
I don't know if it'd be out of order, Mr. President, but the Alaska State Association of Home Builders is holding a board meeting in Juneau, and the association cordially invites all legislators to a reception from 6 to 8 tonight in the Gastineau Suite, 911 at the Baranoff.
Thank you very much, Senator. Senator Tillotson.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in recess till the call of the chair for purposes of leadership caucus.
We'll be brief. Are the messages from the governor this morning?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
Are there communications?
There are no communications.
Reports to standing committees?
The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 67, relocation of utility facilities incident to the construction of highway projects by a municipality, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Sackett, and Rohde. Senate Bill 67 has a further referral to Community and Regional Affairs. The Rules Committee considered House Bill number 166, Special and Supplemental Appropriations for Oil and Gas Matters, and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute and calendared on March 4. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Bennett, and Ferguson. This bill does appear on today's calendar. There's other standing committee reports.
Or special committee.
We have no special committee reports today.
There are bills for first reading and reference.
Senate Bill number 159 by Senator Ray, an act relating to assignment of district court judges and magistrates.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill number 160 by Senator Josephson, an act relating to the Board of Nursing.
Health, Education, Social Services, Labor and Commerce may wish to look at it.
Senate Bill number 161 by Senator Curtula, an act making an appropriation to the Fishery Industry Industrial Technology Center for Salmon Quality Control Education and providing for an effective date.
Continuation of last year's program of Senate Finance, Health, Education, Social Services.
Those are the new bills today.
Takes us to the daily calendar. Senator Moss has the floor.
May we have a brief at ease?
We'll be at ease. Order. We are in the daily calendar. Will the Secretary read the bill?
House Bill number 166 by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act making special and supplemental appropriations for oil and gas matters and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered this bill and had a majority recommendation do pass with amendments. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, Ferguson, Vic Fischer, and Fakes. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute and calendared March 4th. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Bennett, and Ferguson. There is a Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Fakes. Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for House Bill 166 be adopted.
Objections noted. Senator Fakes has the floor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. There are three major changes, or one major change and two amendments to the Rules Committee committee substitute. The first change is in line 10 on the first page. The sum, the original sum in the bill was $38 million. At the request of one of the testifiers in the Finance Committee, the sum of $36,105,371.70 was added. As you are aware, there's interest being accrued to this bill every day since the date of judgment, which I, if I remember correctly, was November 10th. This sum of money will take us through near to the end of March for payment. We just didn't want to overpay, and we didn't want to have a lot of money hanging out there, so we wanted the exact amount as nearly as possible to be reflected in the bill. In addition, there have been two amendments that were added to the bill in the Finance Committee after considerable testimony. The first one, amendment, or section 4 of the bill, is because of the Department of Petroleum Engineering of the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus has proposed a one-year-long research project to study self-sustained hydrocarbon miscible enhanced oil recovery processes. Now, this technique is a known, proven, and effective process to increase the productivity and the recovery process of an oil field such as Prudhoe Bay. Reinjected natural gas does not always form the necessary bonding to bring the enhancement of the oil up to maximum efforts. In this study, an alternate method of deliberately retaining a small portion of the crude will be kept, and then various amounts of hydrocarbons will be added to it in the research laboratory to figure out the exact formula to reinject with the natural gas to enhance the oil recovery. The year-long study will employ 5 persons, 2 research professors, and this is the most important part, 3 graduate students who are earning their master's and doctoral degrees in petroleum engineering with an emphasis on resource reservoir engineering. They will assemble and build their own equipment for a total cost of $93,000. This is a bit of a savings because this particular department has studied this before in different phases of it, and they have portions of the equipment already there. They will work with the research and engineering staffs of various petroleum companies, as been done before, and they will be actually using samples of Prudhoe Bay crude. The next amendment, which is found in Section 5, is a $100,000 appropriation from the General Fund to the Department of Community Affairs for the North Star Borough to study a small diameter pipe. Through 6 public hearings this summer, the Fairbanks North Star Borough has prepared a program of progress. This is one of their priority items in that program of progress. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very, very much. Proceed. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is offered as a Rules Committee substitute. I wonder when the Rules Committee met and considered this.
Yes, as always, Mr. President, the Rules Committee meets in open meetings at 12:30 on Wednesdays. This was considered as a bill on this past Wednesday. What the concurrence was when we opened the packet, I was under the impression we were having a Finance Committee substitute, and it wasn't there. And so I thought there was a mistake with the Senate Secretary's office or some error had been made. There hadn't been an error. So I asked as a chairman if we could look into the problems of why this wasn't a CS and then bicycle the bill, which is normally not our practice in the Rules Committee. But the Rules Committee did say that that was okay in this particular instance because we had looked at the bill in public. On finding that the Finance Committee staff, through no error, particularly of their own, did not prepare a CS, the Rules Committee did at that point in time. It was my decision, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking to the CS, and particularly in regard to the 2 amendments, the Rules Committee Chairman gives a very eloquent discussion of ways to enhance oil recovery, and I think that's certainly a viable study. But I think if the University of Alaska really wanted to do that study, they could, within the $44 million that they're seeking in their research budget, allocate that study internally. That appropriation is simply an add-on to the next year's budget for the University of Alaska. The second appropriation requested by the Fairbanks North Star Borough in the Programs for Progress packet, I think can get us in probably some more problems than it gets us out of. We've looked at small line alternatives to Fairbanks twice recently, once through the Power Authority and once through the task force, the Governor's Task Force on Gas Line Alternatives. And just going back to the report of Booz Allen Hamilton and considering that, they said, and I can quote this, although it is just a draft and I would point that out, but it's desirable, but only as a part of a major gas line project. And they go on and say that the plant at Fairbanks is only feasible if gas is tapped at either an ANG Northwest project or an All-Alaska project. And they say something else that concerns me because we've always had an ongoing concern for just how it's perceived either by Northwest or by sponsors of an Alaskan project that the state be out front in looking at what those alternatives are. And I think the statement that concerns me the most about this study is that a small diameter line should only be considered if the Northwest project or the All-Alaska project are not going to go in the near time future. I'm not willing to make that statement. I think we should be behind the industry in either one of those projects, whichever one can get the financing as soon as possible. And I very strongly oppose these 2 amendments and therefore the committee substitute.
have the floor, Senator Moss.
Mr. President, I think a moment ago the Rules Chairman alluded to a interest payment. I understand that's about $10,000 a day. That means that any delay that we have, every 24 hours, we're looking at $10,000 more that we've got to pay on this. So I think the bill should be moved rapidly to get that off our back. But I also want to point out that I don't believe that the oil companies want this small diameter line. And by golly, I want to see some of that gas in the interior. We need it there, and we're going to get it come hook or crook. And I'd like to see this thing pass. I'm speaking in favor of this bill here, the amendments to it. Thank you, sir.
The question is, Senator Alford.
Mr. President, since the question of the interest accruing has been brought up, I wonder if someone in the majority that's researched that could just tell us what the fiscal impact is in terms of the time it's taken this bill to go through the process.
Your response? Senator Kelly?
Mr. President, also I'd like to point out that if speed is of the essence here and we're worried about the $10,000 a day interest rate that we all are, then the easiest and the fastest and the quickest way to get this bill through the process is to eliminate and defeat the rules version. Go back to the original House bill. The House will probably concur sometime today or first thing Monday. They'll go up to the governor for signature. Now, I think we all know that the other body is going to have a major problem with the two amendments that were added on here that we're discussing right now, and that's going to delay passage of this bill, and it's going to cost us $10,000 a day when it does it.
Senator A.
There's no information that the other body would have any problem with it, and I haven't heard of any.
Senator Halpern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just point out that there's, in consideration of the daily cost, there's apparently two sides to that argument. On the one hand, the state is receiving interest on the money that's not paid. On the other hand, interest is accruing to the account to be paid. And it looks like, at this point, that's just about a wash.
Senator Joseph.
I'm a little confused now. I thought that earlier the gentleman had posed the accusation that we were costing the state too much money by delay, and now I hear that there are offsetting earnings on these funds so that there really has been no problem. But I would point out that the bill appears to have been introduced in the Senate on the 15th of February, and we've had hearings on it. And within approximately 2 weeks, the bill's on the floor of the Senate. I think the Senate's acted with a reasonable dispatch in this matter.
The question is, shall the committee substitute be adopted? Do you wish a roll call vote? Question is, shall the committee substitute be adopted? You proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the vote.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 6 nays, 1 excused, and 1 absent.
The May substitute has been adopted. The Secretary has the title identical. Title is identical. The Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 166, Rules by the Rules Committee, an act making special and supplemental appropriations for oil and gas matters and providing for an effective date. There are no amendments.
There are no amendments, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 166 be considered and gross advance third reading and place final passage.
Objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill by title.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 166, Rules, an act making special and supplemental appropriations for oil and gas matters and providing for an effective date.
Question. Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Question. Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 166 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary, please close the roll.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 5 nays, 1 excused, and 1 absent.
Senator Ray, do you wish to move the effective date or is there?
I move the effective date clause.
Yes, we'll have to
move on moving.
Motion has been to move the effective date clause. Do you object to the motion, Senator?
That is, I would rule your objection to the motion out of order, but I will bring the matter for debate up on the effective clause motion.
May I make a parliamentary inquiry?
You have the floor, sir.
If the effective date clause is not adopted, the measure would not take effect for a 30-day period, which would be 90-day period, which at $10,000 a day times 90 would be the additional cost to the state, assuming there are no interest earnings, and that's an unknown factor in this instance, because I've heard both cases. So would that be the effect then, Mr. President?
My understanding that would be the effect, sir.
Thank you.
Question is,
Mr. President,
you have a question, Mr. Kelly.
Mr. President, because
the motion is, and I will not narrowly provide for debate because I've allowed broad ranging, but the motion is a motion on the effective date adoption. That is all it is. Senator Kelly has
the floor. Well, the point is, Mr. President, that because of the addition of Sections 4 and 5 allocating $340,000 at $10,000 a day, we've got 34 days to get this bill out and still save money, is the way I figure.
Senator Page?
Mr. President, we have a
brief.
At ease.
Well, we'll be at ease. Remember, the motion. Senator Joseph, what's
speaking for? Mr. President, on the effective date, the appropriation in Section 1 was predicated on the ability of the state to make the payment on or before the 24th of March. And in the event that the effective date is not adopted, the amount in Section 1 would not be sufficient to satisfy the judgment.
Senator Halpern has the floor.
Of course, Mr. President, the real effect of not adopting the effective date is that when the bill goes to the other body, there is little chance that they will concur. At any time between now and March 24th, we can adopt the effective date, and I certainly hope to do that when the bill goes back to its original form as it was introduced, with the exception of the total amount.
The question is, for the body, the question is, shall the effective date be adopted? Roll call vote, you may proceed. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote on the effective date clause? Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 6 nays, 1 excused, 1 absent.
Effective date has not been adopted. Senator Ray.
Notice my reconsideration, Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 166.
Reconsideration noted. We'll come up on the next calendar day. Takes us down to citations. Secretary, read the citation.
Citation honoring Jerry White by Senator Ferguson and Representative Adams.
President Delaney.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the publication notice requirements on the citation honoring Josh Middleton be waived and the citation be taken up with special order of business at this time.
Without objection, Josh Middleton resolution or citation will be taken up as a special order of business. As you know, we have not adopted the other citation, but I believe that it's technically possible to adopt both of them.
I was trying to put them both together.
Yes, right. I think I see nothing wrong with that. Senator, you have the floor. Senator.
Can we have a brief at ease, please?
We'll be at ease. Before us is a motion, and I will, if there is no objection, Josh Middleton resolution is also a matter under waiving of the rules. It's before us as a citation. Will Secretary read that also?
Citation honoring Josh Middleton by Senator Bakes and all other members of the Senate.
Secretary, read the citation.
Honoring Josh Middleton. The Senate of the 13th Alaska State Legislature takes this opportunity to honor Josh Middleton for the outstanding service he has provided through his duties as a Senate page. Josh can be assured his fine efforts for this body are very much appreciated, and we look forward to perhaps enjoying his assistance in future years. We are pleased that this fine young man has had the opportunity to observe Alaska government at close hand. We wish him well as he continues his studies of the political system at the University of Utah, and look forward to his further commitment to better government.
Mr. President, I would move that the citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, citation calendar has been adopted. It takes us down to unfinished business. Without objection, we are reverting to the introduction again.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is a constituent, a friend, a member of the Municipal Planning and Zoning Commission, and an editor at Alaska Magazine, who is here on her birthday, Virginia McKinney.
Mr. President, with the consent of the prime sponsor, I move and ask unanimous consent I be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 131.
Without objection. Finance Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. President. With the consent of the Chairman of the Rules Committee, move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 15 be returned to Finance.
Returned to Finance. Are there announcements of committee meetings? The committee meeting announcements. The other floor, Senator.
Mr. President, the Senate Finance Subcommittee on Education will continue to meet on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday each morning between 8 and 9 a.m. Just to advise the body that this coming week we'll be addressing the administration part of the program, education design and delivering adult and post-secondary support. Mr. President, the Senate Resource Subcommittee on Fisheries will be meeting next Thursday, March 10th, in the Bell's Room at 3 p.m., we'll have before us Senate Bill 52, an act relating to the licensing of commercial fishing, Senate Bill 73, an act relating to commercial fishing loans, and Senate Bill 136, an act relating to the operation of stationary fishing gear, Senate Bill 156, an act relating to the sale and lease of state hatchery facilities.
Move and ask unanimous consent to waive the five-day rule to enable the committee to take up on Monday, March 7th, Senate Bill 152, enact merging the Division of Budget Management.
Objection is so ordered. Before us today. Resource Chairperson.
Mr. President, this afternoon at 3 o'clock in the Bell's Room, the Resources Committee will be having a briefing by the Department of Environmental Conservation on auto emissions control plans, hazardous waste regulations, effluent turbidity standards, and stream reclassification. On Monday the 7th at 2, and there we have a problem, I think, with, is that this Monday we are starting at 11, is that correct? We have then in the Senate Finance Committee with the Joint Oil and Gas Committee briefings on the gas pipeline.
Are there further items under announcement committee meetings? Are there items under special orders not set for a particular time? Senator Gilman has the floor.
Mr. President, move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to speak about a letter from the Senate Resources Committee Chairman.
There's no objection. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I would like to read to you a letter that I have received from the Senate Resources Committee Chairman. It is addressed, Dear Senator Gilman, knowing of your considerable expertise and knowledge in the forms of ordinary bees, queen bees, honey bees, bumblebees, workers, and drones, I am requesting that you use this knowledge and skill to chair a special subcommittee on bees. I hope you will accept this honey of a request. I have purposefully not used any buzzwords or flowery language in asking you to serve, since I am fully aware of your dislike for lepidopteran maneuvers. Please comb this issue carefully. It is a very sticky subject. Sincerely. Well, Mr. President, you know of my intense interest in this subject from last year. And I really didn't mind carrying that first bill, but it's absolutely above and beyond the call of duty for me to carry the son of bee. And I would like to, Mr. President, through you to the chairman of the Resources Committee, respectfully decline because of my tremendous committee workload that I have this year.
We will respect your requests and suggestions, Senator. Senator Moss, do you seek the floor?
Yes, sir, Mr. President. I would like to talk about a matter that I will be placing on each senator's desk. We're trying to get them printed up. I hope to have them available to all the senators by Monday, at which time I will do a special orders deal on it. Basically, what it amounts to, it's a two-page contract that cost us about $5,000 a piece. It has to do with the, it's by Peter B. McDowell. I think Peter B. McDowell is now a commissioner, and it's a contract that he had. I just wanted to let you folks know that I will be addressing this thing, but I want you to have a copy of all my information before I do it Monday there. Thank you, Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to request the privilege of the floor to make a request to the presiding officer on parliamentary inquiry.
You have the privilege of the floor to make a request, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. The rule that was waived today by unanimous consent, Rule 23, has an inconsistency in it with regard to whether you can waive simply the five-day rule or you can also waive the publication the preceding Thursday. And I think before we get into it on an issue where there's substantial differences and debate, it would be at least to the benefit of the body if you could research that and give us some kind of a written opinion as to how it's going to be handled so there'll be some consistent pattern in that. Thank you.
Your concern is well taken. I'll ask the Rules Chairman to do this for the presiding officer that is responsible and prerogative. Are there further items under special orders? You have the floor, Senator Farringham.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I have privileges of the floor to discuss a matter of contracting that's of interest to our Labor and Commerce Committees.
Senator Farringham does have the
floor. Mr. President, it's been brought to my attention that the contract award from APA to Illerby North Face for construction of the southern section of the intertie will be awarded early this coming week. Because questions have been raised by constituents concerning this contract and proposed award, and because the House Committee on Labor and Commerce is consulting with the City Committee and scheduling hearings on these questions that have been posed, I would request that the President of the Senate appoint a committee to wait upon the Governor and respectfully request that the award of the contract be held in abeyance pending completion of the scheduled hearings. I want to stress that this request does not constitute nor reflect any judgment or opinion of mine about the propriety or the impropriety of this award. It's rather in the spirit of affording the questions of constituents to be answered in a hearing process that's already been arranged. It's my judgment that if this course is followed, the public will be given assurances that matters of importance to them are properly handled. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. I think that it's appropriate, and it is appropriate, that the Labor and Commerce Chairman, State Affairs Chairman, Resources Chairman, wait upon the Governor as quickly as possible today to discuss this problem with them and see if he, and I think only he at this time, can perhaps alleviate your concern. Are there further items under special orders? And that appointment is made with the Chairman of Labor and Commerce as the Chairman of the group. Okay. So please report back to us. This is not a light assignment. Senator Mulcahy has the floor.
Mr. President, I ask and move and ask unanimous consent to the privilege of the floor to address a newspaper article on the permanent fund.
There is no objection. If you would await me one moment, would the Secretary of Senate note in the journal the appointment of these three members for the specific purpose? Thank you, Senator Mulcahy. I apologize.
Well, Mr. President, it was brought to my attention by one of my colleagues on the floor, an article that's entitled Legislators Undecided on the Issue of the Fund Dividend Program. I just want to make this a little bit more undecided, I guess, Mr. President. One of the reporters did ask me what my feeling was on the repeal of the permanent fund and addressing that. I thought he was addressing Senate Bill 92, which is repealing the $700 million and wasn't addressing the issue of the dividend repeal. Mr. President, as far as the dividend repeal, I'm very definitely in the wrong column of this survey. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Ray.
President, I would request the privilege of the floor to discuss the permanent fund dividend.
Senator Ray does have the floor. There's no objection.
It just came to my mind again with some of the media attention to the permanent fund dividends. And I would like to also remind the members on this floor who listen to both of our senators, our U.S. senators, and what their concerns and what their warnings were if we continued the distribution of permanent fund dividends.
Senator Ray, there seems to be no further item under special orders. 11.
If there's no other business come before the Senate, I move we adjourn to 11 a.m. Monday, March 7th.
This body is...